It is good to see everyone today as we begin a series on being thankful and grateful in this life toward God. In Colossians 3:15, the scripture says, "Be ye thankful." It is a command tense. It's not an option. Paul felt like all Christians ought to be thankful. And so he says, "Be ye thankful." So we want to look at what it means to have a spirit of gratitude, a perspective of gratitude, a mindset of gratitude, and then to live a lifestyle of gratitude in the Word of God. So we're going to start out today in Acts chapter 27. Paul and a group of Romans and Greeks are in a storm in a ship. They're about to beach this boat on a deserted island, but they're coming out of the storm. They're adrift, basically. They're off course, and we pick it up in verse 33. "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing.'" So they weren't eating. They were not eating because they didn't know when they'd be rescued, so they were fasting to preserve or conserve the food. And so Paul tells them, "Go ahead and eat. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you," because an angel had appeared to him before the storm and said, "Everybody on this boat's going to be safe because you're on the boat." And he was the believer in God, and he was God's anointed. "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat." And we were in all the ship, 276 souls there. "And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea." Let's go, Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, forgive any of us if we ever don't take time to pray and give you thanksgiving when we go to eat a meal. But Father, you have provided the meal, and you have provided us the health to eat it. And so let us not take it for granted. And Father, as I come right now, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, and I pray for a cleansing by your blood of the daily and weekly sin I confess to you out loud in the prayer closet, because you said confess the sin, and that Greek word means out loud. And some of them I get tired of saying. And Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to change me and give me victory. And one day I won't have to confess those same old besetting sins. But Father, you ain't going to give up on me, so I cannot give up on myself. And so you and I fight on. I pray, Lord, to be filled with your Holy Spirit and anointed by your Holy Spirit of righteousness. And I pray for a spirit of meekness and humility and submission unto you right now. Holy Spirit, you just take over. We don't need me. We need you. And your words. And your message. And Father, I just pray right now for your Holy Spirit to speak to all of our hearts. Everybody in this room, Lord. And everyone listen. We have so much to be thankful for. And we begin this month of November. We're going to focus 30 days on being grateful unto you for what you've already done. In your name we pray. Amen. Here is Paul with a bunch of heathen and unbelievers. And it says in verse 35, "And when he had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all." That word is eucharistos. We'll look at it in a moment. But you haven't been in a situation where you didn't say the blessing because of who you were sitting with? Or who you got shipwrecked with, or whose island you were on? He's literally a prisoner on this boat, and he says, "You guys might not believe in the God that created the heaven and earth, but I do." Yeah. And so I'm going to thank him. Well, Brother Leo, we don't want to offend anybody. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. Ain't nobody out in America today worrying about offending the Christians. And I'm not saying react the way they are, but the bottom line is this. You know, if you go eat with me, I'm going to bow my head and pray. Now, you don't have to. I'm not preaching at you, but I am not going to deny my God. And you say, well, that's what I'm doing. That's exactly what you're doing. The Spirit moves on your heart to say your blessing. Patty and I have eaten in many, many places with a whole lot of people. And probably in the last year, we've had 5, 6, 7 dinners in different places across the state of Tennessee in very nice restaurants where we were with people that never said the blessing and never say the blessing. But I take my wife by her hand. She turns her head to mine. I turn my head to her and I say a blessing. And so Paul's saying the blessing. I can't deny Jesus. Man, when you've been on a feeding tube, you sure not going to not thank Jesus that you're fixing to eat. Yeah. You know, a wasabi filet mignon in Cane Prime in downtown Nashville. Yeah, it's one of them Japanese cows. I mean, I'm going to thank God. I never had Japanese cow, but... Really good. They're tender. All right, here we go. Probably a fallout from the bomb. I don't know. All right, here we go. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. See, when you verbally express something, that's a witness. So he was in the presence of them all. When you verbally express something, that's a witness that you're a believer in God. Now, that word is Eucharistos. All right, you ever heard of Eucharist? Eucharistos. 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 I'm going to give you 4 definitions. Number one, to show oneself grateful. To show oneself grateful. You know, if you want to say, man, I just want to show my wife how much I appreciate her, and you send her flowers. To show oneself grateful. Number 2, to be thankful within one's heart and express that gratitude with word or action. To be thankful within one's heart and to express that gratitude with word or action. So right now I'm giving you the biblical definition of thanksgiving. It is heartfelt and it is action. You thank God with your heart and with your hand. You know, one of the greatest tragedies ever, you know, I've only left 2 churches in my ministry. But there are times on that last Sunday, people come up and they say, Brother Leo, I know I never told you, but I sure appreciate, you know, all those sermons and all of what you did and blah, 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 blah. And when you get 50 people tell you that you weren't even sure if those 50 people were on your side, it could have totally changed your mindset. So it's very important, biblically, to express gratitude. And that's Eucharistos. It's not only to be thankful within, there's an and there. And express that gratitude with word or action. Now, a heartfelt appreciation expressed outwardly. It's another synonym definition from Zaites. When someone is truly grateful and they express it. And then the final one is this. The grateful acknowledgement of God's past mercies and blessings. So grab that. The grateful acknowledgement of God's past mercies and blessings. So, am I thanking God for something in the future? Certainly you can. Thanking for all He's going to do for you. But gratitude is looking back on what God has already done. And taking the time and putting forth the effort to verbally say out loud, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And then to express the action with your hands. We'll look at that in a moment. Or your action. So look at Acts 27:35. They had fasted 14 days. They had been in a storm. They were about to shipwreck on the coast there. And it says, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God. So, what was he thanking God for? Number one, he was thanking God for his provision. He provided the bread. Number two, for his protection. He protected them through the storm for preservation, for health, for the food, etc., etc., etc. My friend, when you start thanking God, you're not going to stop.
Amen.
You're not going to run out. You are not going to stop. So that's Eucharistos. Go to Acts 28. Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28, verse 12, they finally get the boat where they need to be. And they tarry 3 days at Syracuse. And from there, they go on, and the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and they asked them to stay with them 7 days. So we went toward Rome. In verse 15, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. So he's headed to Rome and he's headed to jail. But for a brief time, there are some brothers and sisters in Christ that are meeting him before this monumental situation in his life. And you know what he's doing? He is thanking God that brothers and sisters have been sent to him by God to strengthen him and encourage him and support him and pray for him. You know, I know a lot of times we'll say, Lord, I just want to thank you for all the people that pray for me. But you know, it'd be good to start naming them.
Amen.
Say, Lord Jesus, I know Lehman's praying for me. Lord Jesus, I know Sanders praying for me. Lord Jesus, I know Betty praying for me. Every Sunday morning I get a text from Daniel Doyle and it says, Dad, I love you so much. I just want you to know I'm praying for you in the service this morning. Every Sunday morning I get that text. I know Daniel's praying for me. And I need to stop and thank God. I get texts from Judy. I get calls from Lehman. I get texts from Betty and Sandra. And they say, just want you to know we're praying for you tomorrow. We're praying for you tomorrow. We're praying for you tomorrow. And so, how long does it take me to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that Sandra, Betty, and Judy, and Daniel are praying for me this morning? It takes just that long to say that. And you know what that does? That builds you up. Man, I know people are praying for me. Folks, I always ask people, what time's your appointment? And they'll say, what difference does that mean? Because I want to be praying for you. Because I know how sick I get. If I get there at 9 o'clock and they ain't going to see me until 10. I'm sitting there, my heart rate's going up, my blood pressure's going up. So you know what I do? I pray, Lord Jesus, let them get in quickly. Let them get in quickly. That's one of my prayers for everybody. When Jennifer went Thursday morning, man, we're praying, Lord, let her get in there and get out. Let her get in there and get out. Sure enough, she texts us back at 10:15 or so, and Patty goes, Jennifer's already out. Already out. I mean, let me tell you something. If we don't have people praying for us, we're in sad shape.
Amen.
And if I don't have you praying for me. So he says, I thank God for the brethren. You don't have to turn there, but in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says this. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you.
Yes.
And what he says is, every time I think of you, you know what I do? I say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for that sister in Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that brother in Christ. Brother Tony a moment ago said, I want to thank God for my family and I want to thank God for my church family. Man, there's a power when you walk into a tough situation, whether it's in the ICU, whether it's in a courthouse, wherever it is, and you got 60 or 70 of your brothers and sisters in there with you. That means a lot. And it strengthens you and it gets you through. It strengthens you. And it gets you through. So he was thanking God for the brethren. It's a mentality. It's a lifestyle of expressing your thanksgiving. Go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, for this cause, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14 is a passage of Scripture you can read as a prayer every day. Because you're asking God to give you understanding, to give you the knowledge of His will. When it closes out, you're thanking God that He cleansed you of your sins by His own blood, that He purchased your redemption, that you're born again, and that you're saved. This is a great prayer to pray for your loved ones and to pray for yourself. Because it's Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. He prays that you be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. And then he says this, give thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So what's he thanking God for here? He's thanking the Lord who has translated him or transferred him from the power of darkness into the power of Christ's light. And at the day you're born again, you begin your inheritance. Amen. What's the inheritance, Brother Leo? Well, I got an eternal inheritance in heaven, but right now I've got the peace and the joy and the wisdom and the strength and the guidance of God in this life.
Amen.
And so basically what Paul is saying is, I'm thanking you, Lord Jesus, that I don't have to go through this life without you.
Amen.
Now, how simple and powerful is that? To just say, Lord, boy, this is rough, but I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. I ain't going through this without you. I want to thank you that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I want to thank you that 20 years ago when I went through this, Lord, you were right there. You were right there. And I just want to praise your holy name. Sandra and I coined a phrase many years ago when Tony was in the hospital, and we always said, God's got this. Something would come up, and Sandra would text me, and I'd say, God's got this. And then Sandra has texted me in recent years, God's got this, God's got this. And so we just text one another, God's got this. I want to praise God for all the times God had it. Because every time He had it. And that's what He's saying there. That's what He's saying. Go to Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, verse 15. And this is the focal voice. He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's an imperative text in the Greek. We can call it a command text. Be ye thankful. Would you say that with me? Be ye thankful. Say again. Be ye thankful. You know, sometimes we just have to say, Lord, I'm just not thankful enough. Father, I want you to forgive me. You don't hear a lot of songs of praise and thanksgiving. You hear a lot of whining. Be ye thankful. It's a command. Now, it's not a command that's hard to follow. It's a whole lot easier to be ye thankful than it is to forgive certain folks. So when He commands you to be ye thankful, why is that an imperative text? I mean, we don't have an option. Well, no, we don't have an option, because of most all people on the face of the earth, I should be more thankful than everybody else. You should be more thankful than everybody else. And that's the only attitude we ought to have. If I was the only one alive, Christ would have died for me. I know what a terrible sinner I am, and Christ still died for me. I know what I've been through in life. I know the thoughts I think, and Christ still forgives me. Of all people on the face of this earth, I ought to be the most thankful. And so that's the attitude or the mindset that Paul's expressing here. And he says this, so out of my gratitude, I'm going to spend time in God's Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching. Admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm going to let the Word of God dwell in me, and I'm going to do my best to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ. If I hear somebody's going through something, I'm going to be there. I'm going to go there. I'm going to call them. I'm going to text them. I'm going to do something. Remember, biblical gratitude is not just what you feel in the heart. It's what you do with your hands. Now, notice what he says. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What's that mean, Brother Leo? Oh, that means, I've cleaned this church every Monday for 15 years and nobody appreciates me. The preacher never gives me any recognition. Nobody's given me a certificate. They don't have my name back there as you come through the back door. So what do you mean, brother? You ever been around people in a church that get upset because the people don't recognize what they're doing?
Yeah.
Everything you do, you're not doing it unto the people.
Yeah.
You're doing it unto Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Who died for you.
Amen.
And it's not just in church, it's everywhere. You know, we went out, my family helped this little poor family down the road. And somebody else took all the credit for it. Well, boo-hoo. The true judge sees.
Amen.
He'll reward you in heaven. He'll reward you in secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do everything is unto God. I can't not do for people based on them not being appreciative.
Yeah.
I've got to do for people based on me being appreciative of what God's already done for me.
Yeah.
And so that's the spirit of gratitude. It doesn't matter. You do it unto Jesus. Well, you did it for Joe. No, I did it for Jesus. You did it for Jeannie. I did it for Jesus. And so you do it unto the Lord. Not based on how people treat you. You do it based on how God's already treated you. And how much He loves you. So everything you do in gratitude as you're doing it unto the Lord. Now, let me show you four quick principles out of Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll close out here in a moment. I think. You've done gained an hour. Maybe I can help you gain 10 minutes. Beat the Methodist to the buffet. If you're listening by internet, we don't have a buffet in Wayne County. We don't have many Methodists either. I'm teasing. All right. I'm teasing. We've got more Methodists than what we are. But now we don't know what we are. We're kind of non-interdenominational somethings. All right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this: let your conversation, let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Let your life and attitude and mindset be without covetousness, and be ye thankful and content for what you already have.
Yes.
Now that's part of the definition. A spirit of gratitude is based on what you already have.
Yes.
So let me give you a couple of principles out of the Book of Mysteries on gratitude. And I'm reading these to you. The first one is this. Gratitude is not based on the amount or quantity of the objects you possess, but the amount or quantity of gratitude you possess for what you already have. It's not based on how much stuff you've got. It's based on how much you appreciate the stuff you've already got.
Yes.
So what's the prayer? Lord, enlarge my spirit of gratitude. You ever had somebody that's got a car and they just complain about that car all the time? Man, this old car, in cold weather it won't crank, or, it leaks oil, or whatever. You ever seen, start thanking God you got a car. People complain about their houses. There are people in Puerto Rico that probably won't have electricity by Christmas. Tons of them. We're going to walk in our homes this afternoon, flip a light switch, never thank Jesus 1 minute. We have so much to be grateful for. So ask God to help you recognize the things that you already possess in your life that you need to have your spirit of gratitude enlarged for. That's a legitimate prayer. Now don't miss this. Say, Lord Jesus, please show me some things that you have brought into my life that my spirit of gratitude needs to be enlarged for. Or, Lord Jesus, show me some things I've never thanked you for before.
Amen.
I'm just taking them for granted. Like I've got some kind of spiritual entitlement. Because God owes us nothing. And it's like the folks Patty and I've known for years, and we've said this just between ourselves, that certain folks, oh, they went to church today. Oh, I guess they did God a favor. Because that's pretty much their attitude. And they'll let us know, well, we went to church today. Well, I'm sure God appreciates the favor. I shouldn't tell you all the things Patty and I tell each other. But that's one of them. That's one of our lives. She'll get off the phone with somebody and she'll say, Leo, so-and-so did God a favor last. I said they went to church. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure the angels rejoiced in heaven. God owes us nothing. And everything we've got, we want God to increase our spirit of gratitude for it. Now, let me give you another principle. It's the same thing. As you have your spirit enlarged, you want to thank God not only for the things that you have been blessed to acquire with the money God has provided for you, but you need to make sure you thank God for all the priceless things that are in your life.
Yeah, amen.
The things money cannot buy, like the laughter of your children and your grandchildren.
Amen.
The health that they have today that money cannot buy. You know, all your years together with your best friend who is your spouse.
Yeah,
you know, all the people that God used to bless you with. The hard times He's gotten you through. You know, sunrise at dawn on your front porch with a cup of coffee. And Lord, I'm not in a hospital room tonight.
Right.
You know, thank God for the priceless things.
Yeah.
The things money can't buy. And let God enlarge your spirit of gratitude for those things. I want to close with two verses. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, the scripture says this. By Him, Christ Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now that's verbal and audible. Sometimes you need to just walk in your house, say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And some family member will say, well, what are you thanking Jesus for? And you can tell them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you say that with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you say it again? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say it one more time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I say that a lot. I say it a lot. Say it out loud. I feel convicted if I don't. Judy talked about the leaves changing. Oh man, this week, constantly, I was just sitting there saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, thank you, Lord Jesus. So, it is verbal and it's all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, in that restaurant I was telling you about, me and Patty, I whisper the prayer, but it's audible. I'm saying it to God. I had a guy I knew back in South Carolina. Back in South Carolina, the Southern Baptists, preachers, should have taken out stock and shown us. Because Sunday morning for church, in Somerville, South Carolina, we must have had 60 Southern Baptist churches in that association. There'd be 40 Southern Baptist preachers eating at the buffet. And then Sunday night after church, there'd be another 40 of them eating at the buffet. And there was one fella, and I'm not going to say his name, but there were several times Patty and I would be waited to be seated on a Sunday night, and you could hear that fella praying in the back of the restaurant. And he had one of these preacher radio voices. So, I mean, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a humble, meek, true, sincere thanksgiving unto God out of the fruit of your lips. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to preach to anybody. You're not trying to force anything on anybody. But there's nothing wrong with a child of God saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, look at the second part. It says this. And in verse 16, you are to do good. And in the King James, it says to communicate, forget not. Now, that word communicate is koinonia. It means to participate in something. But it also means this. It means to help the poor or to give alms. Okay, to help the poor. So you're to say thank you, Jesus. And then when God brings people into your life that need help, your hands and your finances at times need to take action based on what God's done for you. I mean, you need to help not only people on a personal level, but organizations. You know, there's nothing wrong with us helping them children out in Memphis, you know, at that hospital. There's nothing wrong with us helping Compassion for Christ, Jewish Voice, you know, Samaritan's Purse, Christmas Shoebox Ministry, all these ministries that come our way. People just chunk them, and then they go buy more stuff. My friend, I want to tell you something. That is an imperative tense too. And look at what he says there. If you've got a spirit giving thanks to His name by doing good and helping poor people, don't forget to do it, because when you do it, God is well pleased. I take very, very seriously the blessing and the curse of Israel. And when God spoke to Abraham and He said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. I climb walls to find ways to support the nation of Israel that I know are solid ways to support. I thank God that my son never had a disease. That he was never in a situation like the young man we're praying for an accident. So I'm going to climb walls to find hospitals that treat children, either at Vanderbilt and Sarah Cannon in Memphis, because Brother Leo, you give hundreds of dollars? I eventually do, but I give money and give, because I know it's a command from God, and it shows God, though He knows my heart, that I'm grateful unto Him.
Yes. Amen.
And so the definition of the word is to be thankful within one's heart and express that gratitude with word or action. I can remember as a little boy growing up listening to Billy Graham. Man, they'd play him on national TV. My mom, my dad, myself, we'd watch Billy Graham. I heard the salvation message from Billy Graham many times. You think I'm not going to support Franklin Graham now? Why, brother? Out of gratitude. Out of gratitude. You got 30 days to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thank you, Lord, for things He's already done, things you've got, and things that are priceless. And you might be here today and say, Brother Leo, you know, I've just never thought about supporting anything other than our church. You know, I've just never thought about it. Well, pray about it. Pray. $5 does so much in some of these organizations. It buys meals for a day for people that don't have meals. You could give somebody $5 a month. But I want you to understand something. Once you start, it won't stop there. It won't stop there. Because God will put on your heart to help somebody else. Somebody down the road or another organization. I come under conviction to help the nation of Israel 4 times a year during the feast seasons. And Jonathan Burness knows, and Patty and I are on first name basis with him, and conference calls and things of that nature, because I believe those that bless Israel. I'm asking God to bless my family all the time. I'm sure going to ask God to bless the families of the nation of Israel every day. And I'm saying this over this website. If America doesn't support Israel, she's doomed. If the Christians don't support Israel, we're doomed. But let's enjoy these next 30 days thanking God. Be ye thankful. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Judy to play softly. And let's just do that. Let's spend a few moments being ye thankful. Be thankful unto God. Are there some things you've never thanked God for before? This Christmas season, is there somebody you can help out? Some organization? This Thanksgiving season? Let the Lord put something on your heart. Bring up our children with a spirit of gratitude where they forget not to help others. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's spend a few moments thanking Jesus and expanding our spirit of gratitude for all the things we already have. Just start. Say, Lord, I want to thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my children. Thank you for health. Just let that thing, it's like a train. And you keep adding cars to it. And it lifts you up and fills you with peace and confidence in God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's be ye thankful for a few moments.